Welcome to the School of Bliss podcast. Thank you for tuning in and making your choice to elevate, to ascend, and to tap into your higher consciousness. This is a show where we not only inspire and motivate, we give you proven strategies and route to achieving unbridled bliss. And now, your host.
What's up, everyone? Thank you so much for tuning in to the School of Bliss podcast. I'm your host, Colin Sadika. Before I go any further, allow me to rant real quick. You know, I'd like to get this off my chest. I'm sitting at a restaurant, trying to have a meal. I'm tired, I'm hungry as fuck. And obviously, when I'm hungry, I'd probably be a little bit grumpy. So I'm waiting for my meal, and the waiter pulls up, and I'm very cordial with the waiter. And I'm like, obviously, I say hi to the waiter, you know. I'm waiting for the waiter to just confirm my order. Okay, listen, this is the meal I'm trying to have, okay? Could you kindly just make it quick, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, because I'm hungry right now. I'm really, really hungry. The waiter is like,
okay, sir, I'll get you what you want now, sir.
I'm like, okay, thank you.
Would you like your steak well done, sir?
I'm like, bruh, medium rare, please.
Okay, sir. What seasoning would you like on your steak, sir?
I'm like, bruh, just bring me plain steak with some salt.
Okay, sir. What sauce do you want, sir?
I'm like, bruh, what sauce do you have, bro? Bruh, just get me whatever, bro. I'm hungry right now, you know. I'm just trying to have a meal. Just get me whatever you're trying to get me, boy. Just get me this meal. We'll figure shit out later. It's like,
okay, sir. What would you like on the side, sir?
Bruh, what is this now? 21 questions? I'm like, bruh, just get me the meal, boy. Get me the meal, boy.
Okay, sir. What would you like to drink, sir?
I'm like, bruh, just get me a water.
Okay, sir. Sparkling water or normal water?
I'm like, bruh, hey, listen, you know what? Scratch that. You know what? Check this. Give me a second. I'm gonna be back. Just give me a sec. Rest up. Walk out of a fucking restaurant and I'm out of that place. And I'm like, fuck that shit, boy. Maybe I need to walk on my patience, huh? Yeah, maybe I need to walk on my patience. Or maybe I need to pull up to restaurants when I'm not very hungry. Because obviously we're gonna have a problem. Now, recently, I came across a statement online talking about you ain't the man that your grandpa was. And I'm trying to find out why is that so. And the truth is, what I figured is actually mind-blowing. Now, you see, nowadays, the quality of life is very different to the quality of life back then. People might say, okay, diseases have gotten stronger, and, you know, germs are getting stronger and things like that. You know, bacteria is getting more powerful. But here's the truth. The truth is people are getting weaker. You know what I'm saying? If we're talking about testosterone alone, according to a recent report from JAMA, so testosterone therapy among men is on the rise. And I'm talking about, you know, just from 2010 to 2013, prescriptions have more than doubled. So researchers are attributing this to drug marketing campaigns, urging older men to boost low testosterone levels. Back in the days, our grandpas didn't have to worry about testosterone. And the testosterone that our grandpas had was way too high. You know what I'm saying? The fertility rates were on another level. Studies show that men's testosterone levels have been declining for decades. I'm not talking about 2 years, 5 years back. It's been happening for decades. The most prominent being a study that was done in 2007 in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. So it revealed a substantial drop in men's testosterone levels since the 1980s, with average levels declining by about 1% per year. So this means, for example, that a 60-year-old man, say in 2004, had testosterone levels 17% lower than those of a 60-year-old man in 1987. Now, remember, we're talking about 60 years old. 60 years old is way past the peak of masculine performance. Now, another study was also published talking about men produced similar findings with double-digit declines if we're looking at men born in the 1960s compared to those born in the 1920s. Now, imagine 1920s to 1960s. There's been a very, very steady decline. What does that tell you about men born today in the 1990s, in the 1980s, in 2000s? It's serious. And so you see, the challenges of health, especially men's health, do not end there. Rates of certain reproductive disorders like testicular cancer have risen over time. And sperm counts are shrinking all over the world. So you see, these trends coincide with a decline in strength among young men. Because in a 2016 study, the average 20 to 30-year-old man could apply 98 pounds of force with a right-handed grip, down from 117 pounds by a man in the same age bracket in 1985. So, what's behind all this? That's my question right now. What's behind all of this downward trend? And it's kind of complicated by the decline in testosterone levels. Personally, I feel it's most certainly linked to higher rates of obesity. If you look at men today, listen, let's just be honest. Men, women today are way obese compared to back in the days. Back in the days. Plus smoking, right now, nicotine is a potent aromatase inhibitor. And right now, smoking is on the rise compared to back in the days by far. Other than that, there's increased exposure to environmental toxins, such as pesticides, parabens, and chemicals, very common chemicals in household products like phthalates and bisphenol A. Now, I need you to understand something. Every time you pull up to a supermarket and you're checking your products on the shelves, you want to be very categorical about the kind of things you want to consume and the kind of things you should not consume or you don't consume. Because at the end of the day, if you do not educate yourself on what's safe, what's unsafe, what chemicals will cause problems, then 100% you're going to consume so much harmful chemicals that are definitely going to take a toll on your overall health. Nowadays, I see sodas that I'm not going to mention being marketed as zero sugar. And people out here, sodas and energy drinks being marketed as zero sugar, people think, oh, shit, this is dope now. Now I get to enjoy my soda. Bro, there's a little something in that soda called aspartame. And that's exactly what's killing you, boy. That's the slow poison. It's not just about the sugar. There's plenty of poison in that can of soda. You want to educate yourself so much on what you should consume and what you shouldn't consume. But at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, it's all up to you. You know, what you put in your body, it just pretty much speaks about how much you respect yourself or how much you love yourself. Personally, you know, I treat my body as a temple. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to consume anything that's going to put me at a precarious situation in matters health. Total fertility rate of women decreased from 4.1 to 1.8 children per woman, and age-specific fertility also decreased from 1901 to 2014. So I'm talking about women aged around 30 to 34, 35 to 39, of 40 to 44 years in the first decade of the 20th century, they had higher fertility rates than the corresponding five-year younger age groups, 25 to 29, 30 to 34, and 35 to 39, you know what I'm saying, have had for the last 65 years. So on average, women gave birth to two children after the age of 30 and one or more child after 35, after 35 years in the beginning of the 1900s. See? Furthermore, women more than 40 years of age accounted for 10% of total fertility rates in 1901, compared with 4% in 2014, despite usage of assisted reproduction. I want you all to understand something. Life has changed a lot. And nowadays, we're consuming way too many harmful chemicals. Our livelihoods and our trends and our lifestyles have deviated so much from what was original, from what was our way of life back in the day. And don't get me wrong, we all appreciate all the, you know, the advancements that are happening technologically and all the advancements we've been able to witness that have made our lives easier. But the truth is, we are moving farther and farther away from the practices that changed our lives, from the practices that made us even stronger individuals. Look at the life expectancy right now. Look at the life expectancy right now. Compare it to the 1920s. Compare it to the 1950s, the 1970s. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk about a few things that I reckon if you embrace, they might change your life, might change the life of people around you. You just got to embrace these things. And the first one is fasting. I spoke about this on an entire episode. These are very ancient practices, actually. Fasting is still relevant up to date. Pretty much involves abstaining from food or drinks for a specific period of time. So people practice fasting for various reasons. Some is religious reasons, some is spiritual reasons, and others is also health purposes. But here's the thing. The health benefits are the most important when it comes to fasting. I'm talking about improving insulin sensitivity, promoting weight loss, and supporting cellular repair. I need you to understand that as soon as you fast, as soon as you reach a point in your system, a point of achieving autophagy, then you're pretty much purging your body from the inside. You're purging your body of all toxins, of all cancers, of everything that's making you sick. And fasting was actually pretty much put out there to help humanity. Fasting is an ancient practice. It has worked for people that were here before us. It is still working up to date. It is important to embrace fasting. And let me tell you something real quick. You could decide to take a month of fasting and you purge yourself of some things that you had no idea were growing. Some damaged cells were probably multiplying. Some cancerous cells were probably multiplying in your system. You purge yourself of all these things and you pretty much regain pretty much, you know, your health. I always speak about earthing and grounding. Every day you're in shoes. Everywhere you walk, you're in shoes. Every time you're in shoes, you never take off your shoes to walk barefoot. Back in the days, people used to do a lot of barefoot walking. And I want you to understand that connecting with the earth's energy has so many health benefits. So earthing, I think it's pretty much grounding, okay? I think grounding is the same thing. It's the act of walking barefoot on natural surfaces like grass or sand. This allows, it allows you to absorb the earth's electrons, which neutralize free radicals and pretty much reduce inflammation in the body. I always find earthing and grounding very relaxing and rejuvenating. And my favorite place to do grounding is normally in the beach because I love walking on sand. Take off your shoes. Your shoes are making you sick. You can't be in shoes 24/7. How do you reduce inflammation in your body when you constantly have rubber separating you from the ground? Constantly. We consume a lot of heavy metals today, actually. We ingest a lot of heavy metals. And these are the kind of things that you can neutralize through just walking barefoot. Gonna advise you to embrace this kind of practice. It is important. Nowadays, there's too many companies, big pharma companies, that are out here talking about the sun is gonna ruin your skin. The sun is gonna mess up your skin. The sun is gonna make you sick. Why would there be, and let us just think about it this way. Why would there be something natural that is built to kill humanity? As we all know, nature heals humanity. Nature does not destroy humanity. Unless we're talking about, you know, catastrophes, natural calamities and all that, the things that have been put out here, the sun, you know what I'm saying, the trees, the water sources, the water bodies, these are all here to heal humanity. These are all here to support humanity. So sun exposure is essential for your health. Spend some time in the sun. I look at people queuing up to buy vitamin D supplements. Why are you buying synthetic vitamin D supplements when you could pretty much just get some sun exposure and let your skin synthesize vitamin D? Vitamin D is important for bone health. Vitamin D is important for immune function. And sunlight, let me tell you something about sunlight. Sunlight actually boosts your mood, boosts your energy levels, you know what I'm saying? Boosts your production of melatonin and serotonin. These are the kind of chemicals that will enable you to sleep better, to feel better. Even your dopamine function is enhanced when you get some sun exposure. These are ancient practices that nowadays we're deviating farther and farther away from. Because, you know, we're stuck in these cities. You know what I'm saying? You're in your whip. After your whip, you're in the building. After the building, you're back in your whip. After the whip, you're back in your crib. You ain't getting sun. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, I see there's plenty of people that have embraced the vegan diet, the vegan lifestyle. It's all good. It's up to you. It's your lifestyle, you see? And that's the thing about being an adult. You get to choose what path you want to take in your life. It's your life. It's all good. But back in the days, people used to eat a lot of meat. A carnivorous diet is a unique approach to eating, you know? And people that have tried a carnivorous diet, you know, consuming animal products, it has led to tremendous weight loss for most people. And these are studies that can be backed up. It has improved mental clarity for most people. The most important thing is increasing energy levels. Animal foods provide all the necessary nutrients that our bodies need. Now, don't get me wrong, plant-based diets also do the same, but animal foods are way superior, not gonna lie. You know what I'm saying? As you know, protein, healthy fats, essential vitamins and minerals, you know? But here's the thing. At the end of the day, you want to sit down with a healthcare professional that's going to assess what diet will work best for you. Because at the end of the day, When it comes to diets and all, I believe these are very custom needs based on, you know, your health status, based on your history with certain foods, based on your allergies and all that. So it literally depends on your state as an individual. But embracing a carnivorous diet has worked for generations before us. And it could definitely work for you today as well. I've seen so many people doing, practicing acupuncture. And acupuncture actually originates from China. So it's traditional medicine practice that involves inserting some thin needles into very specific points on the body. So many people find it beneficial for various reasons. And acupuncture is believed to help with pain relief, reduce stress, promote relaxation, and pretty much improve overall well-being. So it works by stimulating specific points in your body that correspond to different organs and systems in the body. It is important to try acupuncture, especially when you have this chronic pain, chronic inflammation. You could give it a try, but make sure it's being done by professionals that have mastered and perfected the craft. Yeah, you don't want to pull up to some bozo that is a, in quotes, licensed, you know what I'm saying, practitioner. You want to pull up to people that have actually done it. People have seen their work improve their lives. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, every time people fall sick, you want to think about the pharmacy before any other thing. You want to run to the pharmacy so quick. You want to run so quick that you leave your shoes behind. Because you want to pull up to the pharmacy. Hey, I'm pulling up to the pharmacy. Listen, back in the day, Big Pharma wasn't out there. And what I can say about, you know, pharmaceutical products nowadays, without fear of contradiction, is most of them treat symptoms and not really ailments. So you want to treat your symptoms and you want to get back to the same old bullshit later on and keep asking yourself, why is this thing recurring? Why can this thing go away? It's because it has been suppressed. It hasn't been purged from your system. And that is why herbal medicine is fascinating. Plants have been put out there to heal us, to provide food for us, and it's just up to us to utilize them. Herbal medicine can come in different forms. Could even be teas. I actually appreciate green tea. Green tea is pretty much herbal medicine. You know, tinctures, capsules, tropical applications. You know, some popular herbs that I can speak about that I know them for relaxation, you know, like chamomile. Chamomile is dope for relaxation, just putting your body in a state of relaxation, your mind as well. Ginger. Ginger is good for digestion and purging things like sore throats. There's echinacea that's good for immune support. There's turmeric as well. That's really, really, really important because it is anti-inflammatory and it supports joint health as well. Peppermint is good to soothe digestive discomfort and relieve headaches. And ginseng is king because its adaptogenic properties enhance energy, reduce stress, and pretty much improve as well blood flow. These are just a few examples, but in ancient communities, they really, really embraced this type of medicinal approach, herbal medicine. I see too many people from back then. If you meet people that, you know, come from the older generations, they appreciate fermented foods. They eat a lot of fermented foods. And it's a very interesting topic because fermented foods have been a part of so many cultures, not just one culture, one part of the world. This is a worldwide thing. So for centuries, people make foods undergo a natural process of fermentation, where beneficial bacteria break down sugars and produce compounds like lactic acid. So this process not only preserves the food, but also enhances its flavor and nutritional value. So fermented foods like yogurt, sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha are very rich in probiotics. I've been taking sauerkraut for a minute, and I have to admit it this, you know, as someone that lifts weights and eats for functioning, I try to get in my meals so that I can improve my protein synthesis. I want to improve my absorption of key nutrients. I get in a lot of gut healing from sauerkraut because, see, probiotics, they heal your gut before any other thing. They heal your gut. And then now it's easier for you to be able to absorb other nutrients and get the most out of your food. You see so many skinny people out here that eat too much, but they don't grow. You meet a skinny person talking about, I eat like crazy, but I ain't growing, I ain't putting on weight. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you is your absorption ain't good, boy. What's wrong with you is you ain't getting nutrients from your food because you ain't absorbing the nutrients at the first place. Let us incorporate some fermented foods into our diets. And this can pretty much improve your health gut by a major margin. And, you know, pretty much reverse most of the today's health predicaments, you know, and health disorders, especially that originate from the gut. I normally say it's important to have a spiritual foundation. You know, having a spiritual foundation can bring a sense of purpose and meaning to your life. Connect with something greater than yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's up to you. Connect with something greater than yourself. Explore your inner self and find that meaning, find that purpose. Personally, I found peace. I found comfort. I found guidance. You know, through prayer, through meditation. I've been able to cultivate mindfulness. I've been able to cultivate gratitude and a very deep understanding of myself and the world around me. Because I built a spiritual foundation. This is my personal journey. Personally, it's worked for me. It's up to you, though. But I always feel, and I can say without fear of contradiction, that it's important to have a sense of purpose and meaning to your life. You know, it's important to have a spiritual foundation. Nowadays, I see so many people being couch potatoes. You want to be a lazy bum and you expect to be healthy. Back in the day, it used to be you toil and you eat. It is important to earn. It is important to be able to get everything that you have today through the work of your hands, through your effort. If you're hardworking, you deserve to be healthy. If you're hardworking, you deserve to eat all the good things, all the good food, all the nutritious food. You can't be a couch potato, you know, answering the doorbell, receiving even more food that's making you fat. You know what I'm saying? That's making you unhealthy. You know, spending your day on the couch. Yeah, that shit is ruining the new generations. It's ruining the new generations. You know what I'm saying? It's important to be an active individual. Play a role in the society. Play a role in your life. You know, find some purpose. You know what I'm saying? Create some meaning to your life. Nowadays, in some parts of the world, and I was having this conversation with a friend, it's very difficult to find organic food. And if you find organic food, it's expensive, super expensive. And I'll let you all know that eating GMO-free food is the greatest way to prioritize your health and support sustainable health. You know what I'm saying? I see so many people today talking about, yeah, I got medical insurance. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't need that medical insurance at the first place, if at all. Okay, well, we need medical insurance because, well, emergencies do happen, right? But let me rephrase it. You would need to pull up to the hospital all the time with other things other than emergencies and accidents if you actually eat well. You know what I'm saying? If you eat organic food, if you eat nutrient-dense foods, you support your immune system, you function as you were meant to function. So it's wonderful to be mindful of what you consume. I always say, personally, as soon as I feel there's a lot of negativity creeping into my life, I want to take some time and immerse myself in some natural water, especially salty water. I believe immersing oneself in natural water bodies can literally cleanse your aura. Every time that I felt like things ain't going too well, and I feel like, you know, I have this burden of negativity, I normally just take some time and, you know, just spend some time in natural water. As soon as I leave, I feel like, you know, I'm back to being good. So, you know, salt water such as the ocean or natural spring water springs are very rich in minerals like magnesium, potassium, and calcium. And these minerals can have a very positive impact on our skin, especially helping to hydrate and nourish it. On the other hand, salt water is known for its potential therapeutic effects, such as relieving muscle tension and promoting relaxation. You know, salt water also exfoliates our skin, you know, removing and purging all these dead skin cells, cleansing the pores, removing impurities, leaves your skin feeling refreshed and rejuvenated. And the minerals in salt water can also promote hydration, and so pretty much maintain the skin's natural moisture balance. Now, another thing, salt water has antimicrobial properties that can help combat bacteria that causes acne. You know, I see so many people struggling with skin conditions such as, you know, eczema, psoriasis. But the truth is, the minerals in salt water can definitely help reduce inflammation and itchiness that you know, could literally provide a relief for these conditions. And, you know, if you have dry, flaky skin, yeah, you could as well, it could be improved by, you know, the salt water's exfoliating properties. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all up to you. Sit down with your dermatologist, find out what's ailing you, find out where your problem is originating from. I always speak about skin issues as something that definitely stems from a underlying issue that needs to be sorted out. If everything is okay, if your pillows ain't filthy, if you change your pillows often, if you exfoliate your skin and you pretty much wash your skin before you sleep, and you don't consume a lot of garbage, then if you constantly dealing with or battling issues with the skin, you probably have something else that, you know, needs to be sorted out. And most of the time it comes from the gut, you know, it originates from the gut. So as soon as you sort that out, then everything can go back to normal. So as I wrap up today's episode, I want to leave you with a thought you know, I wanna let you know that embracing organic living isn't just about the food we eat, you know what I'm saying? It's a lifestyle that connects us to the earth and promotes overall well-being. So if we can avoid harmful chemicals, we could protect ourselves and the environment. You know what I'm saying? And let's not forget about the wisdom of our ancestors and their beneficial practices. Our ancestors were very wise. So let's honor our roots, you know, and find harmony with nature. And we can definitely make a difference and create a healthier and more sustainable world. So we need to avoid harmful chemicals. Let's embrace this organic living. And let's pretty much embrace the beauty of humanity, the beauty of nature. And everything is going to be okay. I want to appreciate y'all for tuning in to this point of the episode. I want to appreciate y'all for being amazing. The School of Bliss podcast wouldn't be what it is without y'all. Bless y'all. And as I always say, go out there and be badass in every aspect of your being. Colin Sadika, signing out.